this time of the year, we naturally think about the Holy Spirit, which is connected to the mission of the church, because it's the Holy Spirit that makes the church fruitful, sends us forth. Yesterday I said I mentioned two principles associated with mission. The first one being that mission is simply part of being a Christian, that mission is an essential element of being a Christian. As the Father sent the Son, so the Son sends us. Every baptized person is, by that very fact, a missionary. So that was the first principle, that mission is just part of being a Christian. The second principle is that God goes ahead of the missionary, that God is always there before the missionary arrives. We saw that in yesterday's reading, and we see it again in today. Another part of mission is, of course, that missionaries will be opposed, sometimes violently. So that's all part of the story. Now, maybe I have this fresh in my mind because today's saint is a great missionary, Saint Augustine of Canterbury, the Apostle of England. Well, I say he was a great missionary, but he wasn't always a great missionary, because his first attempt to go to England was cut off prematurely, because he got frightened about the barbarian tribes up there in the northern part of the Roman Empire, and he turned around right back to Rome. By the way, this Augustine is not the Augustine that everybody's focusing on since Pope Leo was elected Pope. Pope Leo is an Augustinian, but that Augustinian is the Saint Augustine, the doctor, Augustine of Hippo, the doctor of the church, who was earlier. So this Augustine, Canterbury, probably was named after the great Augustine, but they're certainly two different men from two different periods of history, more than 100 years apart. Anyway, so St. Augustine, he was sent. He was sent by St. Gregory the Great, the Pope, to England, which was really far away, the far northwestern part of the empire. At first he wouldn't go, but then once he was told, no, this is part of your identity, you're a missionary now, and he went with 40 other monks. And when they got to England, lo and behold, there was a huge wave of conversion, starting with the king of Kent, and 10,000 of his subjects all converted. And I say, Augustine wasn't there very long. He was sent in 597. He died in 605. So that's only 8 years. And he wasn't in England the whole time. At part of the time he went back to France and was ordained a bishop. So, and in those 8 years, or less than 8 years, he set up churches, he set up dioceses, he converted thousands, including the Diocese of Canterbury, which in our time we think of as an Anglican place. The Archbishop of Canterbury is the head of the Anglican Communion. But remember, the break of the Anglican Church from the Catholic Church took place 1,000 years after Augustine. So England was Catholic for a much longer time than it was Anglican. And now they say in England, the Catholic Church is actually experiencing a kind of renaissance, a kind of renewal, and the Anglicans are disappearing very rapidly. So who knows what will happen in England. But this is part of missionary church, and part of the mystery of mission. It's up to God how he does this. If there are thousands of conversions, that's God's work. If people fall away, God allows people to go their own way. Another reason why I have missionaries in my mind is that yesterday I just happened to be working on the Annuum Way, and I'm one of the editors, and one of the new saints being included in the calendar this year is Mother Teresa, Saint Mother Teresa, and since her feast day wasn't on the calendar before, we had to adjust our little section on September 5, so I looked her up, and she's from Macedonia. I said, "Of Macedonia, why is that in my mind?" Because that's where Paul and Silas are. They're in Macedonia. That was the first missionary entry into Europe was to Philippi, a leading city in the province of Macedonia. So we're going into Mother Teresa's hometown. She's not from Philippi, but she's from Macedonia. And then Mother Teresa, so she's an Eastern European, she was a missionary to India, Central Asia. So, and she's, her name's associated with Calcutta, not with Macedonia. So she went the other direction. She went from west to east. Paul is going from east to west. This is mission. This is mission life. And the community that Mother Teresa founded, missionaries, missionaries of charity. So it's just maybe these things are all connected somehow in the Holy Spirit. Let's look at today's readings. The gospel is again from the Last Supper, and Jesus speaks about the advocate, the Holy Spirit. He says, it's better if I go, because if I don't go, the advocate won't come. But if I go, then I will send the advocate, the Holy Spirit. And then he will do his work. Now, you can imagine if Jesus did not go, well, Paul and Silas would not be in Philippi. They would be in Jerusalem. Everybody who was a follower of Jesus would stay where Jesus was. But after Jesus ascended, there was no reason why they had to stay in Jerusalem or in Galilee or in the Holy Land. They could go anywhere because now the Holy Spirit, who is not limited to a physical location, it could go anywhere. So the Holy Spirit can drive them all the way to Europe. Jesus says, what will the Holy Spirit do when he comes? Well, he will convict the world in regard to sin and righteousness and condemnation. The world is certainly wrong about sin. We know that because the world thinks that sin is no problem and you can do it if it makes you feel good. And Jesus says they're wrong about sin because they do not believe in me. That's the root of sin, to refuse faith. Then the advocate will convict the world in regard to righteousness. Who is the righteous one? Jesus. Not the world, but Jesus, who is calling us out of the world and into heavenly life. And then about condemnation, who is the condemned one? Not Jesus, but the ruler of this world has been condemned. Jesus took on condemnation to set us free, and now the condemned one is the evil one and those who end up following him. So it's a great work. The Holy Spirit. When we turn to the first reading, we go back to Macedonia, to Philippi, and the situation has changed quite rapidly from what we heard yesterday. Yesterday, when they first arrived, they met the women at the shore of the river there, and Lydia was one of the first converts, and she prevailed on them to stay in her home. And it said that They stayed for some time in that city. Well, at some point, Paul stepped on the toes of the wrong people and interfered with their business. So this was not a theological controversy or persecution. He drove an evil spirit out of a girl who was a fortune teller, and so the owners of that slave girl suddenly lost their income, and that made them really angry. So This is part of persecution, right? If you get in the way of people's business, if you hit them in their pocketbook, they'll be angry, unless they're converted. And that's what happens here. So the angry businessmen or slave owners are the ones who provoked this attack, and everybody got in on it. Because after all, Paul and Silas, they identified as Jews, and there weren't many Jews in Philippi. So these foreigners, they're introducing disruptive teachings, let's get rid of them, they throw them in jail, and they treat them really, really badly. They strip them, beat them with rods many times, throw them into prison, into the innermost cell, secured to a stake, their feet to a stake. It's like the worst possible treatment. Like Jesus, who was imprisoned and was crucified. Well, as I've said earlier in the Easter season, whenever we hear about a miraculous escape from jail, it's always symbolic of the resurrection. And here's another one. There's several of these in the Acts of the Apostles. Here it is, midnight. Paul and Silas, who are beaten and chained to a stake, are singing and praying as if they don't even care that they're in the worst possible condition. They're obviously living by faith. They're living in the power of the Spirit. They're not living according to their natural reactions. Anyway, there's this earthquake. It's an earthquake, and boom, everyone's set free. All the doors are open, all the chains are. It's a miraculous event. It's like what happened on Easter morning. The stone is rolled away, and Jesus comes up out of the tomb. Well, here, Paul and Silas, they don't leave the tomb, but they're certainly free. The jailer is the one who discovers he's in trouble. But the jailer, because he's willing to listen, receives the gospel. He's told, what do you have to do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus and be baptized. Faith and baptism. This is the fruit of missionary work, to lead people to faith and baptism. And this is what happens, the jailer and everyone in his household. So yesterday we had Paul and Silas staying in Lydia's house. Today they're staying in the jailer's house. Who knows where the Holy Spirit will lead next? Well, the missionaries live with confidence in the power of the resurrection. That's what comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us confidence that the world does not have the last say. The world is condemned. The world is wrong about sin. The world is wrong about righteousness. It's those who have the Holy Spirit, those who have faith and have been baptized, who are the victors here. And even when it seems like everything's going wrong, even when you're being beaten down and chained to a stake and imprisoned in darkness, don't give up on the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the conviction of a missionary. That's what allows a missionary to persevere, is the Holy Spirit, not the ups and downs of daily life in the world. Go back to England. We know that, especially after the founding of the Anglican Church, the Catholics in England suffered terribly. Hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands of Catholics, martyrs in England. How did they persevere? How did they hold on to their faith in the face of such tortures and persecution? By the power of the Holy Spirit. So those English martyrs become the missionaries, the ones who hold on to the faith and make known the victory of Jesus Christ. That's the journey of the church. The church is sent out into a hostile world, a fallen world, a condemned world, with the great news of the gospel, of the resurrection, and with the power of the Holy Spirit.